Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So we had a texter said Nurkic has never had a triple-double in his whole career. You're thinking of Jokic, Joel, and Denver. No, I'm not. I'm thinking that both these guys are a triple-double waiting to happen. And if you look at his stats, whether he's had any in his career or not, and I'm looking at that, I got my Blazer people on it. He did have a game earlier this season with the Blazers where he had 28 points, 20 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 blocks as the Blazers beat the Sixers and became the first NBA player to log 28-plus, 20-plus, 8-plus, and 6-plus in a game since Barkley in 86. The dude puts up numbers. It's a double-double easy every night, but he's flirting with a triple-double almost every night because he passes so well. And here's the thing you got to remember. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Blazers, as we just saw on the break, already over next year's cap number. They got decisions to make. That's a dude you need to hang on to. You've overpaid a lot of dudes, but you got to hang on to that dude.
It's going to be tough for them to hold on to.
No
it's
question.
It's going to be tough.
You think
the market's going to be wide open for him. He's going to have an opportunity to pick and choose, I think. I don't think Portland will be able to keep him.
Think about what Capella's going to command on the open market. And then realize, offensively, this guy is night and day over Capella. So, and from that's not just scoring, that's assists. This guy's going to get 20-plus from somebody.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's definitely going to pay him. But like you said, it's a different player. You know, yeah. Capella's a pick-and-roll guy, a rim protector, rebounder. This guy can do it all.
Yeah, no question about it. So that'll be interesting to monitor that and see what's going on with that. KJ wants to get in here, talk a little bit more about the Rockets. KJ, what's up?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
All right.
Good. Mooks, great to hear you on the radio, bro.
Truly and, appreciate it, man.
I officiate around the city and do some college and so on and so forth. So you didn't fussed at me a couple of times at Fondy, so but it's all love. I know y'all competing. It's all fun.
You know I'm but, just messing with you, man.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. But just wanted to give a little inside story when y'all were talking about P.J. Tucker and Harden. So this was the scrimmage they had right before the first preseason game they had at Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they played 5-on-5. The two funny stories. The first one was Isaiah Taylor ripped Chris Paul on the first play at half court. So as we come in, he inbound the ball and said, "Hey, man, if you don't call a foul next time, I'm going to throw him in his chest." I said, "Hey, man, that's your teammate." He said, "I don't care. We're playing right now. If you don't call a foul next time, I'm going to throw him straight in his chest." We know how
that's,
competitive.
That's Chris Paul because he did it to Teague in game two.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, he's one of the most feistiest dudes to ever play the game.
Competitive, yeah. Ain't a punch in the nuts.
Right. And the other story is goes right along with what y'all saying on both ends, where, you know, obviously James Harden on the first team, PJ on the second team beat them to, you know, whatever score they were going to, so they start over, and Harden was crying and kind of complaining about this and that, and PJ just, and I can't say the words, but PJ said, "Hey, man, y'all got y'all butts beat. Take the ball out, and we go from here." Like, I'm editing this very strongly because there was no clean words.
And we appreciate that. The parents in line to pick up their kids at school love that, too. We appreciate that.
Right. I'm actually in line picking up my kid at school, too, so I understand. But, yeah, man, it showed me right there that this would be a different team because we had, and I think PJ and my Butte have been the difference in winning 55 games and 65 games. Obviously, the growth of Capella and putting CP3 with Harden. So, like D'Antoni said from the beginning of the year, neither one of them would never not be in a game, and that's the difference between this team and every other team the Rockets have ever had since the John Lucas days, where you had a pure point guard that played point guard first, and he makes it to where you don't have to worry about the ball being handled as they had in previous years. So that's just different. But that story about PJ and Harden, just, I mean, this is the first time I've seen him in the act that he was just like, nah, stop crying. Take the ball out. We beat y'all ass. Let's go from here.
Love it, man.
Y'all have a good one, bro.
Thanks, KJ. Appreciate it. Now, a couple things. First of all, the pure point guard. I mean, we had Mucci Norris after John Lucas. But at the same time, that's the biggest difference. The defense was my butte, as the caller said, before they got him. And with him, Mba Mute has provided them with defense. So you'd rather have Mba Mute than defense that's my butte. Just letting you know. I mean, that's a KJ's right there, too. I mean, look, there's a lot of things that people don't realize when they just are worried about numbers. And we've talked about chemistry and other things. But when you add a guy that brings elements that might not fill up a box score, but it really uplifts the entire locker room, what Tucker does, you know, those, and what Mba Mute does. I said this when they got Chris Paul. Chris Paul was the most highlighted move of the offseason, but the best moves they made were those other two guys.
Absolutely.
Because they didn't play defense a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. But that, so, and that's, like you said, that changes the whole, the atmosphere around there. You got two guys that's going to play defense first. They're into stopping guys and not letting people score, holding your best players down. That's what you have in those two guys. So that's what's changed a lot. Like you said, yeah, Chris Paul was what we know we needed as in a player offensively. But those two guys, you can put them on anybody and they're going to cause them problems.
And that's the other thing. We've talked about this as well. When you know your role, that's when you know that you have a true team full of chemistry. Because of the fact, you can have all the talent in the world, but if they don't want to play their role, they don't want to do, they want to get theirs. They're not going to do what they need to do. But the fact that Luke focuses on defense, that PJ focuses on, look, I'm gonna stop who, I'll play the four if I have to, but I'm going to stop who I got to stop. I'm going to provide the spark on defense, and then if I get my open shots in the corner, I've proven I can make them. Ariza's the same way. Great on-ball defender. Doesn't have to get points in order to be happy, but because he'll fill the lane and he gets rewarded, because he gets open looks at threes, which he might not get other places, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I'm already seeing Washington and teams looking to try and go after Trevor Ariza. Rockets have some things to worry about in the offseason when you've got to pay Capella. Trevor's a free agent. Keeping this unit together to keep this special chemistry going is going to be difficult for Daryl Morey, too. Forget about LeBron James. This is about, can you hang on to your own as well?
Yeah, that's going to be the problem with this, with moving forward. Can they hold on to this group they have? Because they have such a talented group right now, and they're deep. So you're going to have to try to figure it out. It's time to get to get on the chalkboard and figure out where you can make this thing work. Because the one thing you said, these guys are role players. And they understand their role.
Yep.
They're not trying to, go outside of that, do anything special and ooh-ah somebody. They're where they are for a reason. And that's why they're the players that they are.
And also, they're paid because of the fact they're rewarded because they don't do, because they do the little things. And it doesn't have to show up in a box score. But Clint Capella, you might get some team that comes in and overpays him because they're expecting him to do these great things. His numbers offensively may go down significantly because he doesn't get the ball from James Harden and Chris Paul. He gets it from either a young point guard or a team that doesn't have an experienced point guard. And then you start worrying about the fact he's already limited with what he has offensively. His value is on the defensive end and in the pick and rolls and filling the lane.
Yeah.
When you ask a guy like this because he's getting all this money, it's the Ryan Anderson syndrome. Mm. Now that you're making $20 million a year, the franchise, the fan base, they're going to expect a whole lot more out of you. He might not have that like some people because he's just not an offensive player.
Unless he goes to another team that plays the same way, that or has guards or players that's going to be getting him the ball.
You can play the style, but you got to have the personnel.
Yeah, and I just already say that. You got to have the guys that can actually create those opportunities for him. It's a lot different for DeAndre Jordan with no Chris Paul.
Right.
It's not a whole bunch of oohs and ahs and all that. Like every time you look up, because it was Lob City.
Because no. Chris Paul made, I mean, from a financial standpoint, he should have got bonuses for Tyson Chandler and DeAndre Jordan. Because he made them just off of pick and rolls and lobs. He's doing a lot of the same things for Capella. There's a reason why Capella is the third option when they talk about the record of this team when all three of them play. It's because he doesn't have to score the way those other two guys do. He just has to finish what's given to him.
Yeah.
You give him some scraps and he eats them up, we're going to keep feeding you.
Yeah. And they're giving it to him right where he can do something with it, where it's within one dribble, or like you said, it's right at the rim where all he has to do is dunk the ball.
No doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got other series to get to. We haven't covered the Bucks and the Celtics. We haven't covered the Wizards and the Raptors. Both series are getting interesting. And is it over in Philly between the Heat and the Sixers? Let's cover that and a whole lot more. If there's anything on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Final hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Texter is right. Nurkic has never had a triple-double, but since he's been with the Portland Trailblazers, and thanks to Jim Taylor, the PR guy extraordinaire for the Blazers, texting me right back, he has flirted with a quad, as I mentioned those stats. And since he's been with the Blazers, he has come close multiple times to a triple-double, has not yet achieved one. But I still think those two guys, if you're Denver and you had those two guys and you got rid of one for Plumlee, you're kicking yourself because you could have kept those two dudes together. That's the poor man's version of Cousins in the brow. The talent that those two big guys have, that's crazy to me that they let him go for a Plumlee. You going to be all right? All right. So before we get to the other playoff series that we were talking about, too, I did want to mention this because, again, KJ's in the parent line, and we know that. So because of you, in honor of Barry, we do like to stir it up when people are in the – we don't say earmuffs, but you know the warnings are there. But I was going to mention to you guys that very, very nice area of the country, Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, there was a home rental agreement that took an unexpected turn. As the story goes, Leah Bassett, who's an artist and a longtime resident of the area, unknowingly leased her home to an employee of Mile High Distribution Incorporated. She didn't realize it at the time, but that's a pornographic production company. Nick, you might be very familiar. In September of 2014, the Boston Globe, reputable source, reported that Joshua Spafford approached her about renting her home from October through May of 2015. In March of 2015, he informed Bassett he had left the house because he was fired from his job, prompting her to ask her parents to stop by to check it out because she was out of the area. Needless to say, they were shocked by the deplorable state of conditions in which they found their daughter's personal residence. And according to court documents, as circumstances evolved, she began reviewing internet sites, much like a weeknight at Nick's house, to maintain what was going on by Mile High, which publicly boasted about their porn shoots at chic Martha's Vineyard's locations, in which case they found out that there were pornos with her photos, her home, her artwork, her furnishings. And needless to say, they utilized nearly every room of her home for you know what.
Why'd she leave her paintings if she's leasing her house out, though? I don't get that part.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Like, people that rent out their house for Super Bowls in Houston, don't leave anything that you have that has any value to you in it. Because regardless of what insurance agreement you draw up, you are never getting that back in the condition that it once was, if you get it back at all.
Yeah, you definitely got to protect yourself.
Did you get an address on that, Joel?
I did not get an address, but I do want to mention this last statement in the article because it kind of has a little bit of a pun in it. The defense lawyer, Stephen A. Roach, said that the suit arose out of a basic landlord-tenant dispute. I'm going to let you know right now, a lot more arose than just a dispute. And that, in a nutshell, I said nutshell, is exactly what is the root of the problem. How about that? So with that being said, let's talk a little Bucks Celtics. You can fear the deer. I thought Milwaukee had a chance in this series before it started. They looked awful in Boston. And as good as the young players in Boston have been, this has been a hell of a series. You talk about enjoyable, entertaining. A 20-point lead means nothing like yesterday. The first game going down to the wire was shot after shot after shot from both sides. This has been a hell of a series. Mooch?
Well, I thought you was about to take that one. But, I'm enjoying this series. This is probably the best series right now in the playoffs going on because they're going back and forth. There are two boxers trading punches in the middle of the ring.
Well, what I like, too, Nick, is the fact that a tip-in, which people thought was goaltending yesterday by the Greek Freak, and I saw it six different ways. I don't think it was goaltending. Look, I will say this. The only drawback to this series more than at most, but it's been the overriding theme of the NBA playoffs, is the officials have been horrible. They have not been consistent. This is a series where everybody's, and I see it on social media, guys, if you're a Celtics fan, are pulling five plays going, here's where they would have never lost the game. Yeah. Milwaukee guys are going back, but we'll go, whoa, wait a minute. Here are five where you, but overall, aside from bad officiating, this has been spirited, competitive, entertaining basketball to watch by two young teams. Boston, obviously, without their two best players. But Milwaukee, somehow with bad coaching and a bad offensive system, finding ways to win in a series that people thought they were going to get swept in after they dropped the first two games.
The most disappointing part is probably Bledsoe for Milwaukee, though, right?
He's a guy that we scrutinize a lot. Mario and I break him down a lot, too, and say, look, is he a one? Is he a two? But more so than anything else, is he ever going to give you a full 48 minutes? Because he checks out a lot. Defensively, for sure. But offensively, if he's one of those guys like we were talking about, Mooch. If he doesn't get points, he feels like he's not contributing, he's not a part of it, and he just checks out.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. And you can't be like that as one of the main guys on a team. You can't be worrying about if you get your points or not. Right now, you're in the playoffs. You're trying to get wins. And you described him to a T. If it's not going his way, you're not going to get much from him.
And I don't necessarily consider him a one-dimensional player. Like, I see that more from, like, a Ryan Anderson, who's mostly known for his three-pointers. If his three-point shots are not falling, he kind of, like, checks out or he passes up on shots. With Bledsoe, I feel like he has a few more weapons. I don't know why he does that. But I thought it was a decent fit when they initially signed him. You know,
I agree.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad of a deal, so I think if he plays better, I think the whole team could potentially look a lot better. But it's going to be interesting to see.
They could, but what Joe said probably is the biggest thing. What is he? Because he's not doing things to create shots for other players or making the other guys around him better.
Yep.
If he gets it, he's going to be trying to score. So
this brings the whole show full circle, but we're talking about chemistry. We're talking about teams. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have chemistry, it's hard to win. Well, there's a lot of really good pieces that are brought together and don't fit in Milwaukee. Because you think about their draft picks they've missed on. Thon Maker, no one knows what he is. KG says one day he's going to be an MVP. Right now, he's barely on the floor because he's immature and he's underdeveloped. Brogdon coming back from injury, but a guy was rookie of the year, but they're not getting anything out of. Jabari Parker, highly touted top three pick, and because of injury, has not been the same player, but the rumor is he's jealous of the fact that he and the Greek Freak came in a year apart, and he thought he would be as good or better, and he's not getting that kind of love. He wants max money in a year. That's a problem. And overall, if Chris Middleton is your third best player, you probably got a hell of a squad. But if he's your second best player, you probably aren't what you think you are supposed to be. And that could go for Bledsoe, too. If those two guys were your third and fourth option, you're loaded. But because they're being counted on to be your second and third, and they're not performing like it, though Middleton's playing great, I think that's kind of the crux of your issue. There's a whole bunch of square pegs, round holes on that team. And I think coach is going to be a big thing in the offseason for that team, too. I thought simply because you're catching a Celtics team that doesn't have Kyrie and it doesn't have Gordon Hayward, you got a shot. But I don't think long-term this is a team that's going to stack up with the Celtics. And the greatest thing about Boston is you found out you've got a player in Jaylen Brown like you already found out, you got a player in Tatum. Like you found out, Terry Rozier was a hell of a pick in the middle of the first round a couple of years ago. Boston is set all over the place.
Yeah, they looking real good. Their upside is great. They do have the pieces, and they understand who they are.
Yep.
What's going on in Milwaukee is it's like you said, round hole, square pegs. You just don't know what's going to happen. But I think coaching could change that.
I agree.
That's that whole situation, that environment, and they could get better fast. But
the other part is the city attractive enough to attract the right players?
I'm from there, and I can tell you it's not.
It's not. I got drafted by Milwaukee. It's not, but it's the NBA.
Now, I will say this. Milwaukee's made a lot of improvements. They've got, it used to be the skyline, people would flip someone off and say, that's the skyline of Milwaukee. They only had one tall building. They've improved that, you know, but having just had to go back there with some family issues and driving around town, it's not a major city. It's not a metropolis that players want to flock to. Like we were talking about, if they want to play in Houston or they used to want to play in Chicago, no one really wants to go to Milwaukee. And that winter just piles on. So the only thing that's going to get players attracted to playing in Milwaukee are the other players. You've got a centerpiece to build around in Adetokounmpo, but I think the other pieces you've chosen to put around him, because mind you, you traded for Bledsoe, and all of these guys you drafted to go around him have been disconnects. They gave away their first-round pick this coming draft to Phoenix as part of the deal along with Greg Monroe to get Adetokounmpo. So free agency is huge for this team in the offseason. They've got to try and move some pieces. They've got to try and figure out their identity. At DiBucci's point, the next head coach and the system that he runs will go a long way towards dictating what they have and what they need and how they can go get it.
Yep.
So it's going to, because in free agency, it's all about the recruitment process. And I'm sorry, folks. I'm here to tell you as an alum and that's my hometown. You don't have enough sunshine in the day to recruit people to play in Milwaukee.
Nah, it's a rough place to be. But, you know, once again, like you said, it's going to be about the talent that you have there. That's going to be the reason that people want to go there and play. It's not going to be because of the looks. Because when I was in Milwaukee, I just sat and looked out my window all day.
And I'm telling you, 90% of the houses were built in 1920. You can't find new neighborhoods. It's crazy. But that's what small-town America is like.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to go. We got a half hour to go in the big show. And, oh, by the way, guess who's on hold? Moochie's learning in a hurry. The legend of OU Mike rears its head at least once a show, and he's ready. If he doesn't peter out for stage fright, OU Mike will be next, as well as the final half hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's Moochie Norris in for Barry. Barry's back tomorrow after his whirlwind trip through the South doing some comedy. Tulsa, Nick? Was that right?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. And Broken Bow? Or no?
Home of the barbecue bologna.
Haven't experienced life till you had your bologna barbecued.
Or fried.
I keep telling y'all, just check the ingredients in bologna. It's not going to make you
I don't
happy.
Need it. I get the fried part. The barbecue part is the iffy.
It can cover up a lot of things, Nick. That barbecue taste can cover up a lot of things. Let me just tell you that. With that being said, we teased it. We'll give him the floor. This is always dangerous. But OU Mike is back and ready for more. OU Mike, what's up?
It sounds like that lady that rented her house out, it sounds like she was real angry about all of her bedspreads. And then her walls had been retextured.
I was waiting for it. I thought it would come after the first one, but I definitely knew it was coming after the second one, the hang up.
The second one was the punchline.
Yeah,
he did well.
He constantly wants to get that first reaction, and if he gets it, he contemplates it. Maybe I should end it here. But no, then he goes to the well one more time. And
but at least from a chronological standpoint, he had the content right.
He also texted into the show and said, "Did the male performers paint the walls for her?" He just
that one. I wouldn't have given too much credit for that one.
But he can't get enough of himself. I think that also happens. I think that also happens at the house. But I think that while he's on the air, a lot of times, you know, he just obviously lets it fly, and sometimes it sticks, and sometimes it doesn't. It's the easiest way I can sum it up. You have a personal fan that has been big since you've been hitting us up on the show. So White Magic wants to get in here with a question. What's up, man?
Look, man, I've been listening to this station since Carl Dukes and Julie Takahashi was on at 4 o'clock, okay?
I appreciate that.
Me and Boo just so happened to go back a little bit, okay?
All good, man. Hey, look, you endured that. We appreciate you not having to do that anymore and enduring us.
Hey, but I got a quick question, Moon.
What you got?
You have had a lot of offline conversations, and I know you're a high-character guy. So whose character issues are you more surprised by, Kawhi Leonard or KD?
Great question. Appreciate the call.
I'm going to say KD because Kawhi don't say much at all. He doesn't say much at all. Like Joe said earlier, I would think KD would have moved on. But like I said, it's obvious it's something there or something that needs to be said that hasn't been said yet. Maybe. I don't know. It just could be. It's just always going to be that way. But the Kawhi Leonard thing, I don't know. I'm still trying to make sense of that whole situation.
It's like, a little more mysterious than the KD part, too.
And we all are trying to make sense of it. Yeah. Mario Ellie brings up a great point, and he continually says this, and he's right. This is one of those things where the quiet guy needs to speak because we don't want to hear from his people. We don't want to hear from the Pop and the Spurs, and the Spurs don't want to. They've heard too much. At some point, the guy who never wanted the spotlight, didn't like the limelight, just wanted to go about his business, do his thing. And ever since his uncle got involved, it's gotten mucky in San Antonio. Yeah. And now we don't want to hear from everybody else. Tell us what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and what you're going to do. Because I've said this. Even with one win, it doesn't save the series. And at the end of the year, I think Kawhi ends up somewhere else unless there's some huge interaction that we're not seeing and they can resurrect a relationship that seems to be broken.
And that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's going to be they're going to separate. Yep. Like the merge is over.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And a team that I thought that he could go to if both teams continued to struggle was Washington. But Washington finds a way to come back at home and hold serve just like the Bucks did. Washington wins 2 in a very physical series, evens it up at 2 games apiece. And we said there on the Eastern side, the 8 seed ain't your average or ordinary 8 seed either, because there's a top 4 seed that lost John Wall and lost their playoff seeding. But there's a lot of talent on that Washington team, too.
Absolutely. And then, you know, now having Wall back, I mean, he's gonna run the numbers up.
Yeah.
I think he had 23 and...
He had 27, I think.
27 and 14.
Beal fouled out with 31. And those two guys, we talk about McCollum and Lillard and kind of the poor man's version of Thompson and Curry and Harden and Paul. But I'll tell you what, that backcourt right there, if they've had problems with John Wall... But if even Gortat was free, he was open when he said it. He said, look, the bottom line is if we get a very conscious and a very dialed in John Wall,
man,
tough to beat.
He just does so much for that team. And that's what that pure point guard brings to the table. Granted, he's scoring a lot more now because he has to, because they're leaving him open for jump shots and wanting to see him shoot. He's making more of them. So, like we were talking about with Rubio, John Wall's actually confident in pulling those shots now. He's actually making threes as well, but he never forgets to create these situations for his teammates, and he always makes sure he gets Bill and Gortat off.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's the thing when you look at it. John Wall, with a good frame of mind, one of the best in the game. John Wall, when we talk about guys that got to get theirs, that are worried about their points, that look, you got paid. You got your money now. And this is in your backyard. Now, this is in D.C. where, look, people love and they're passionate about their sports.
Yeah.
And you got what you wanted, which was the contract. Now, make this whole thing work. Make this bus move. You're driving it. Don't drive it off a cliff because you're trying to get yours or you're worried about what's been... Look, they played well when he was out for a while, but it's obvious... don't get your feelings hurt. We all know this team is nothing without you as being a part of it. So take your ego out of it from that perspective and focus on what's at hand, which is this team with Oubre and Otto Porter and that backcourt and Gortat and the role players that they have is talented enough to win a series against Toronto. Because, look, the one thing that stood out in my mind yesterday was exactly what I said before the playoffs when I warned you people. Toronto is a team that's a great regular season team, but come playoff time in the final 3 minutes of a game when everybody else is executing, we were talking about it just with all these other teams, execution, moving the ball, not standing around, doing all these things. All Toronto can do in the final 3 minutes of the game is run isolation plays for Lowry and DeRozan, and they can't execute the way other teams can because they don't call plays.
Yeah, and they need to be able to do that down the stretch if they want to move forward, make it to the next round. To your point about the Wizards, yeah, they played well when Wall was out. But we all know, like you said,
that's not playoff basketball.
It's not. And he's going to be the one to make that bus move. He's going to be the one to drive that bus.
All right, before we go to break, Doc wants to get in here on the Kawhi situation. Doc, what's up?
Guys, how y'all doing today?
Good, sir. Right. How are you?
All right. Real quick, guys, what I see, and I'm looking at it from a coach's point of view, what I've seen is that, you know how you have kids and their parents getting involved if they think their kids should get more time on the floor, mm-hmm. or things like that? This is what's going on with the uncle. The uncle is involved, and I believe the uncle is trying to get things done, whereas he's not looking at the whole picture. And I'm trying to, you know, choose my words carefully, mm-hmm. because that my words may be a little offensive to some folks. But what I'm trying to really come around to seeing is the uncle is involved and the uncle is messing up a good situation for his nephew, just like, yeah, some parents that mess up good situations for kids. And I know Moochie deals with a lot of kids just like I do. And so Moochie has probably ran into this problem, you know, I think the uncle needs to become uninvolved because I think the kid is going to get a raw deal because they're going to probably ship him somewhere where he doesn't want to go. And now that max deal that he has to requalify for, he won't probably get for another few years down the road if he get it at all. And I think, to your point also, I was thinking Washington as well, if they wanted to ship him out. But I think now that may be a moot point. I was thinking Wall and Oubre for Kawhi Leonard. I ain't gonna lose. You guys, love your show.
Yeah, I think the key there is if Washington doesn't win this series and continue to play at the level they're playing at, then they could be trade partners. But I think that the interesting point, and I'll give you the parallel for me, when you talk about the uncle being involved, and that's when all this stuff started to go south. The parallel to me is one Vince Young, Madison High School, UT, great first year or so in the NFL. Remember who was around him? His agent was his relatives. He had everybody involved. All of a sudden, there was a falling out there at the end, but it was too late. And I think at some point, family loves the fact that they're involved, and it's a good financial situation for all involved. But they can't be who that agent has to be, which is, as you know, Mooch, an agent can be your best friend, but he can also be the voice of reality that says, time to slow down, time to stop doing this, time to stop saying that. I don't think family does that, and I think it sets us up for a lot more trouble than it does good.
No, I think in most situations, I don't think they do. I think, you know, like you said, they're comfortable with everything that's going on in the situation, the money, and being a part of something. And they don't want to be the one that tells you the truth.
Yeah.
And that's where I think you do need
you
an
worry
agent,
more about being having a seat on that hell of a ride and being able to enjoy the gravy train. As opposed to, hey, in order to keep this train on the tracks, I got to kind of pull him back and say, slow down a little bit now. Because we might be looking at a gravy train in the mouth and kicking it to the curb, and you don't want that. Now, Spurs fans are out here saying, and this is El Jefe, Nick, Kawhi's mom was at the game. If there was any tension between the Spurs and Kawhi, mom wouldn't support
just saw that on Twitter.
The Spurs. Let me just tell you something. Anywhere did I see uncle? No.
No.
So mom can support all she want, but we'll see.
And also, you got to remember, Greg Popovich's wife just passed away. There's got to be you don't think Kawhi at least sent a text to Greg, you know, trying to offer his condolences, and perhaps that's what his mom is doing.
You would think so, and hope so. But bottom line is, where's Kawhi been the whole series? In New York. This is like when we were giving Boogie Cousins a hard time for being at Coachella instead of game one. The bottom line is, this is the most important time of the year for your franchise, whether you're playing or not. You support,
yeah.
you support your boys in that locker room.
And that's why I say that's almost a clear view of what I think is destined to happen.
I agree.
They're separating, they're parting ways.
All right, we'll take a break. One segment to go on the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7, and the convenient thing is it's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final segment of the show before we turn it over to the Blitz. We want to again say thank you to my good man, Mucci Norris, for filling in for us twice in this run of great fill-ins. We've had a lot of fun doing it, and thankfully you guys have all responded how much you've enjoyed listening, so that's always a good sign. We love to hear those kind of things. We had a text that says, OU Mike sounds like he smells like mothballs and Marlboro Reds. Can't say I disagree.
Possible.
I think it's definitely
very
on
possible.
The list of possibilities. Yes. Mucci, your first take of OU Mike. Thoughts?
I'm a fan.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
That scares me because that means he'll be back.
Yeah.
OU Mike also saying, has Barry turned into herpes? Not really sure when he's leaving or going to show up.
It has been four shows. And
it's
he did tweet out a picture with
a blow up doll.
Yes.
Saw that. Yeah.
Calling her a fan.
A fan.
Call her a lot of things. Call her a fan. Call her a friend.
Don't know how much use he put that thing to, but you know.
Calling her a confidant, depending on how close she's gotten.
Well, he'll be back tomorrow. I don't know if he's in town yet, but he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll definitely know that he'll be back in studio. So we'll be Peaches and Herb reunited, and it feels so good. But in the meantime, we do appreciate you filling in, Mooch. It's been a lot of fun, especially during this time of the year. I did want to bring up the fact that when we spoke about Milwaukee, not far from Milwaukee, in a place called Sheboygan. If you're not from there, it's one of those names you can't pronounce. But Sheboygan, Wisconsin, appealed to the public for help late last month, tracking down a most unusual perpetrator. Over the past year and a half, the department posted on its Facebook page, someone has been clogging the women's toilet at the DeLand Community Center with a 20-ounce soda bottle. Very strange, very gross. The Sheboygan Press reported that the string of more than 25 incidents dating back to 2016 has caused the city's parks and forestry superintendent to say that they have spent over $2,000 to $3,000 in plumbing bills, but they do have security footage. And they say the suspect is an adult male, based on what they've seen, who sneaks outside the restroom after clogging it on the way in. First of all, how you get, with all things going on, you're getting in the ladies' room to put a big, not even a big gulp, to put a 20-ounce soda bottle in the women's john. It's not like the banana in the tailpipe.
There's a bunch of deterrents there. I don't know how he's getting this done.
So I'm saying, and it's a convention center and community center. So, you know, people are in and out all the time. It, you know, you're not getting like, but the banana in the tailpipe, you get a backfire. Is that what your end result is? That you want it to like give you the dirty bidet effect for a woman to all over the or what? I mean, what are you after? Because
that's an odd story that perhaps we would normally expect from Florida.
Yeah.
But if the name of your city is what? Sheboygan?
Sheboygan. I mean,
is it even that odd in a city called Sheboygan?
You know what Sheboygan's famous for, Nick?
What?
Sausage. I'm just letting you know that's a fact.
Shouldn't be a shocker.
Sheboygan sausage factories, they lead the nation in terms of
Sheboygan. That's just the name.
Bratwurst,
that's worse than cut and shoot
sausage.
Texas.
They'll tighten you right up, Nick. You get the right sausage. I'm just telling you. So that is out there as well. I thought that was worth mentioning. I'm like, what the? It figures it's in Wisconsin. I'm telling you, people don't want to go back there. It's terrible. RIP to Mini-Me. I thought we were still talking porn for a minute. But Mini-Me, Vern
that.
Troyer, passes
49.
Away. 49 years old. And based on, if you saw the way it was written, they didn't come right out and say it. But they said that he was dealing with bouts of suicide and depression. That his family mentioned that. And they won't say cause of death just yet. But they did say to make donations to one of two causes, and both of them were centered around those two kinds of things. Yeah. And you got to believe, for all the stardom that that guy had, you know, to be that size and fight through that kind of, you know, adversity in terms of people always looking down. You look, I mean, I was thinking about that. You know, you see him at the Playboy Mansion, but yet you've got centerfolds that want to pick you up and carry you like a baby when you're thinking about picking them up and carrying them like a man.
He had a full size like spouse at one point, didn't he? Like a decent looking spouse. I forgot who
I
it thought, was.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I was like, you been in the locker room with Vern?
No.
You're talking about his spout.
You know, I was looking for a button before I could show me and push it.
You're not talking about his spout. You're talking about his spouse. I don't know that he's ever been married.
Or married.
I don't know. But I think a lot of it would play into whether he had a full size, you know what?
Yeah.
No, but we had to call in and verify that. Remember that there
AJ's actually, friend called in?
Yeah, and he said that's not a problem in that department. Remember?
Everybody's different, though. I'm saying, you know, one man's treasure could be another man's shortcomings.
Okay.
Right? You're not touching it. This is a man named Mooch, and he's not touching that.
He
is not touching that one. I can't say that I blame you to some degree, but, you know, I mean, rest in peace, Mini-Me, because he did. He tried the reality TV circuit for a while, and everybody knows who he was at this point. But that's a shame, man, when a guy dies that young. That's sad.
Yeah, especially if, like you said, for what it could possibly be. But I just think that's anybody in the entertainment world.
Yeah, and the last one I'll bring to the attention of you, the peoples. Mucci, you and I are parents. Nick hopes to be someday. But Jay Feely, the ex-kicker in the NFL, tweeted out over the weekend his daughter was going to prom. Only problem is he posed with the couple getting ready to leave for prom with a handgun in his hand. And he is getting blasted on social media.
I saw that.
And it's like, you know, Charles Barkley used to say all the time, look, I dare the people that are dating my daughter to not realize I got a baseball bat under the big chair and I got a, you know, I got a gun in the side pocket because of the fact that you better be right, you know, treat my daughter right. But in today's day and age where everybody's sensitive and everything gets out there, he is getting blasted on social media because what he thought was a joke is being taken completely the wrong way, obviously. He had to actually post an apology that said the prom picture I posted was obviously intended to be a joke. My daughter has dated a boyfriend for over a year, and they knew I was joking. I take gun safety seriously. The gun was not loaded. It had no clip in it, and I do not intend to be insensitive to that important issue. But you know that there are people, armchair quarterbacks, sitting there waiting to pounce.
If I'm not mistaken, she was smiling in the picture.
Sure.
Yeah. And like you said, it was meant to be a joke, but it's hard to have that much fun out here nowadays.
Yeah, you can't, man. I mean, they're both kids are smiling in the picture, and yet, you know, the big picture is, and I've told you, Lisa's had to deal with this. If you make one mistake, which maybe even wasn't even the mistake, but if someone at home decides to make it a big deal and starts posting on the station's page, next thing you know, it's a full-blown mess created by people that have too much time on their hands.
Yeah, because what you think is funny is not funny to them. Yeah.
And it's kind of like what Raheel was saying. He's like, sometimes, like he said, I don't want to go viral. Because if you do go viral, any little dirt that comes out makes you look bad. And it turns that viral, that good positive vibe into a negative one really, really quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And again, you have to factor this in. And I'll give the texter his due. He said, are you kidding? If that was a black man, would this happen and be an overreaction? Give me a break. I mean, look, that's, again, a factor in what we're dealing with in society today.
I remember Tina Thompson calling me, reaching out to me one day because of something I posted on social media. And that's exactly what she said to me. You know, you got to be careful what you put out there.
Yeah, it's great to have those friends that can look out, too, because my wife is so hypersensitive because of that, that she's the same way. If I post a picture that I think is completely harmless, she can find things in it that when you step back and think about it, you're like, I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it, and you got to change. So, I appreciate you, my brother. I appreciate you stopping in. This won't be the last time, but we do appreciate you spending some time with us the last couple days.
Thanks for having me, man. One more thing, man. Shout out to my son, Lil Mooch, man. His birthday, man. Turned 20.
Happy birthday, Lil Mooch. Is his I Mooch too?
Nah, he's going by Marty Norris.
Marty Norris. I was never going to give away the secret of what your real first name is, but I'll leave that to you on another day. So for Moochie Norris, and Nick Sciarra. I'm Joel Blunt. Y'all have yourself a great night. Barry's back tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Blitz. They're next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.